Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome Hall of Fame rider Mike Smith to Racetrackers. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Mike. As you know, we're on with myself and Mike Monroe, and we seems like we're always giving you wonderful congratulations. You had another tremendous weekend coming east on Travers weekend with winning the Travers with West Coast.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a very blessed week. It was almost an unbelievable week, but we got close. We did well anyway.
Yeah, well,
extremely well.
It was all the things that good racing is made of, you know, a good crowd, good weather, good competition, a great card, and you were right in the middle of all of it. And of course, your win on West Coast for Bob Baffert seemed a little bit familiar.
Yeah, same tactics anyway as we had last year. And he's a colt that's really, I thought, beat probably one of the most competitive Travers field we've seen in a long time. I mean, there was very, very nice three-year-olds in there that, you know, anyone could have jumped up and run huge, but he's really starting to get really good at the right time.
Well, I think you spoke of the same tactics as you had last year on Arrogate, and I guess that's probably what surprised most people who were observers or handicappers was the fact that you were on the lead right from the very beginning. Was that the plan, or were you concerned about always dreaming, showing speed alongside you?
Yeah, that was it was the plan to see if I could make it, you know, and if I saw that I couldn't outfoot him going to the first turn, well then I thought that I would have put myself in a good spot with a race with not much pace in it. I certainly didn't want to, you know, be further back than three or four off of it or wind up getting shuffled back any further with a paceless race. So I was very aggressive leaving there to see if I could get in front of him. And, you know, it worked out, man.
Well, it's kudos to you and to Bob for making that decision, because I think a lot of people thought that, you know, Always Dreaming would be a formidable foe in the first, first half mile or first three quarters.
I kind of thought that you know, seeing his last race, you know, Always Dreaming went to had a really easy lead and just didn't fire his A race, but for whatever reason, he just didn't. And I still don't believe he did the other day as well. So I thought, just me thinking to myself, I'm thinking, well, if someone will go, I bet they'd be happy enough to sit off somebody, kind of like they did in the Derby, and see if that would, you know, give him a target and see if that would wake him up. Is what I thought they were maybe thinking, and I thought, why not get real aggressive leaving there, and if I can outfoot him, I will, and I was able to catch a really good jump. And this horse was very fast early on in his career. His first couple of races, he was quick, and he's quick if you want him to be, you know. So, again, we jumped really well, and I was able to put him in front, and again, he fired a big race. I mean, he really ran big.
I mean, it's, you know, I can say from watching it live, and of course you know it, you're on the horse, but watching it live, it was astounding how fast he came out of the gate. What a good break you got there, and I always thought you were a winner four steps out of the gate, just because it seemed like you had made that uncontested lead, and he was so sharp and so in the bridle. Well, I mean, congratulations again on coming to New York and, you know, getting off the airplane and coming in and winning. I know that wasn't the only, and obviously that's going to give you some choices going forward, depending upon how Arrogate trains up and where Bob decides to run everybody against each other. It seems like you're going to have a huge Breeders' Cup afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, he could have up to four horses in the race, really. If he runs them all in the Classic, you know, I mean, he's got Collected as well, you know, along with West Coast and the Great Colt that just won the other day. I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden on his name, but really nice horse as well. I'll think of it here in a second. But
Cupid won
Cupid,
pretty well, I think.
Yeah,
right.
Cupid, definitely.
Right.
So, I mean, he could be loaded along with, of course, you know, the Arrogate, so we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I know Mike wants to speak to you a little bit about Songbird, but I guess one of the things I'm seeing is that trainer Dallas Stewart is thinking about running his mare Forever Unbridled in the Classic, and it seems like that's quite an auspicious spot to go. But I know
that'd be fine with me.
Right.
I think that's a great idea. I think you should.
we'll do our best to promote that for you.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I know you have a couple of questions about Songbird and Forever Unbridled.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, first of all, congratulations. It seems every time after a big weekend, we have the Mike Smith Show on Racetrack is that portion, and we love having you on.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for always coming on and, you know, always coming on with us. And once again, you know, you just showed your athleticism and your smarts, you know, as one of the greatest riders of all time by taking the Travis Field wire to wire. But I kind of watched your interview after the personal incident. I'm in total agreement with you. I think Songbird, I think she ran a bang-up race. She ran a winning race, and I just agree with you. I just think the older mares are getting a little bit better, and I think it was a, like you said, it was an excellent ride by Joel Rosario, staying as far out as he could. So your mare didn't really catch her in the eye right away. But I think Songbird, I don't think she should hang her head low for any part of that race whatsoever. I think she ran a winning race, and she just a little unfortunate that she didn't get the victory.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, she ran dynamite. I mean, she's running really, really well. I mean, for everyone, but that's a really nice mare, and she's an older mare. She loves that track there. And, you know, Joel rode a great, you know, great race and just staying far away, as way from me as he can. By the time, I couldn't get out to him if I would have tried. I would have lost too much to get out there. And my mare did, you know, fight back, but he had already gotten, you know, a good head of steam on us. And, you know, she ain't a quitter, that Forever Brother. She keeps coming. So it's no disgrace whatsoever to get beat by her. I don't think people are giving her enough credit. They're trying to say my mare's not the same. I think she is. I think she's every bit. And who knows if he'd have, you know, if I could have, you know, hooked up with him a little earlier, maybe I would have come back. I don't know. But in saying that, you know, I take my hats off to Bridle Forever. I thought she just ran a tremendous race.
And your filly is as game as can be. And Mike, I got to ask, you know, because Bill and I have brought it up several times on the show lately, and you who rode at Saratoga for so many years and was leading rider for so many years in New York, do you see a difference in the surface of the Saratoga main track as compared to years previous? And did it have anything to do with any of the races that you rode? Because a lot of people said, even in the Travis, like, you know, you were a little bit off the rail. Was the rail not exactly the place to be that day?
Well, you know, again, you know, just different races will kind of start to set a bias in the track that may or may not be there. You know, I mean, horses were coming down the middle of the track and just really rolling home strong. But again, there were very talented horses who finished, you know, who run from off the pace, like Unbridled Forever. You know, she come rolling down, you know, six, seven, eight paths away from you and runs a filly like Songbird down. Well, then all of a sudden that puts in your head, maybe I shouldn't have been on the fence, or maybe, you know, this or that. I mean, it's just,
right.
You know, as far as the racetrack I was concerned, I was, you know, right down on the fence on Dreyfong, and he ran pretty darn good. So I can't say that it was, you know, there was, you know, really a bias. I felt that the track was great shape, played fair, true to form. It wasn't any different to me. I thought it was great.
Absolutely. And I caught the interview with Bob Baffert, Bill. It was actually a great interview when he was talking Tex and Mike before the race and stuff like that. And they were using DeFrong as a measure because Bob said he was doing so well. And after the race, he basically just told Mike, after DeFrong was so impressive, Mike, just do what you got to do.
Exactly. You know, I mean, so, you know, I'm sure he knew I was, you know, sit down on Songbird getting beat, but you know, I wasn't going to let that get in the way of, you know, my next ride. But he just wanted, you know, he's a great coach as well as an unbelievable horseman. He just wanted to get inside my, you know, my head and make sure, hey, put that behind you. That mare run big, you know, this and this and that. Don't worry, you coming to, what do you think, inside, outside? You know, just kind of just kept my mind busy and thinking about, you know, the task at hand, what I had to do next. And when Dreyfong jumped up and run the way he ran, well, we were really happy and confident that we could be wherever we wanted to be with, you know, West Coast, and we were going to decide to, at that point, to be aggressive leaving there and see where that put us. If it was in front, wonderful. If it wasn't, well, it'll put us in a good spot, you know.
Well, Dreyfong certainly has a fondness for Saratoga. Both times he came over here, he simply destroyed his competition.
Again, he's a, you know, some horses love different courses, man. He does. He gets over there, and, man, I mean, he – he does things just a whole lot easier over that track, which you would think the opposite, you know, because
absolutely,
it is a sandier, a little bit deeper, but he loves it.
You know, Mike, handicapping has come a long way since Mike Monroe and I started handicapping, but everybody watches all the replays now, and I got a big kick out of somebody trying to determine how much Trey Fong got out of the previous prep where you were unseated. You know, someone was watching how far he ran without a rider, and I said,
I don't know if he got much out of that. You know, it's hard to say, but to be honest with you, Bob had him ready to run that day, and he had him ready to run this Saturday. I mean, he was ready.
Yeah, I mean,
they did a great job. He's so great off a layoff, man. They're ready to run.
Yeah, I mean, he just looked like he was the easiest of all winners, and he looked like he was completely ready. I guess, has Bob mapped out a plan yet? Do you think there'll be a prep for Trey Fong before he goes into the Breeders' Cup sprint, or you think he'll train him up to that?
I'm not really sure. You know, he'll have to get back to Santa Anita. This meet be over here on Labor Day and see how he's doing, how he's training, what his energy level's like. They just got back from New York, so you know, you'd have to talk to him about that. I'm just happy to be on him anytime I get the opportunity to.
No, it's just it's becoming just so, you know, so many times you just come in with so many big races, and it's a pleasure to watch, and we're so happy
that you
give us your time. And it's, you know, those of us who were in the stands year after year, we just kind of look at each other. It reminds us a little bit of when Woody Stevens won all those Belmonts, and we kept sitting there and looking at each other saying, you know, we've seen this show before. So, congratulations again. And you have a lot of happy choices, I think, to make coming forward.
Yeah, we got a lot of, you know, great things happening. Like I said, you know, just very blessed right now. We're just going to sit back and let it play itself out. See who, when they all start training back again, see how it's going, and things will work their way out, you know.
Well, keep up the good work, and we know you're busy, and you know, we're obviously, you know, looking forward to, you know, the fall championship races that are coming up both on both coasts, and I'm sure we'll have you on, and I hope you please come back again before, you know.
I'd love
the big
to
races.
Absolutely.
Yeah, actually,
you bet.
Actually, Mike, Bill, and I will hopefully maybe try and get out to Breeders' Cup this year, and we can see you personally, because you know, you're a fan favorite, and we love having you out here, and you're great for the game.
I would highly recommend coming out if you get the opportunity. I think it's going to be great here at Del Mar.
Excellent. Well, wonderful, Mike. Thanks so much, Mike Smith. Everyone, thanks
thank
again,
you
Mike.
Guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye. Bye, sir.